Good morning, church. It's just so good to be here with you this morning. So most of you know that we went to North Carolina last week, came back last Sunday, and we're hunting for wild hogs, and we had a good time. It was especially awesome for me because I'd just say it this way. When you have grandchildren and they get to the age where they get married, it doubles your grandchildren. So I went with three sons and, well, almost. Braden's not quite a son yet. Three grandsons and Jesse, my son. So all of us went together and it was just an awesome time to relax and hunt. And the guys went, I didn't actually go golfing with them. They went golfing one day and had a good time with that. But it's just we just had a really good time, and as we were going, I was reminded how dependent we are on plugging into our stuff to get it recharged. You know, we were on the way down. Jesse's phone went dead. He was doing the maps with his phone and said, "Hey, I didn't need another phone. My phone's dead." So I thought about that. Well, at work, we work with battery tools now. We got to continue to pull batteries, plug them in, and get them charged. And we're in a constant state of having to keep things plugged in. Keep them. So when we're not using, when we use electrical tools, we have to keep them plugged into a cord, or they don't run. They don't run at all. And so I got to thinking about how we have to stay plugged in. What is our power source? And so I named a title today, Our Power Source. We're going to look at the Word of God a little bit and see how He wants to keep us plugged in to Him today, so that we, in our spiritual life, stay plugged in as well. We have to be constantly taking in nourishment from Him to be able to keep our spiritual lives alive and going. If we don't stay connected, we die. So we're going to look at that today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, I thank you today that you are our power source. Father, that we can get all the power we need from you. Lord, that you provide everything that we need. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your example of King David and how he always stayed plugged in and plugged into you. And so, Father, we just, as we look at your word today, as we look at how our lives are affected by Jesus, Lord, just renew our minds today, renew our hearts, and allow us to get what you're saying and to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to actually begin in First Chronicles today. I want to look at, this is the story of David when he was turning things over to Solomon for the building of the temple. First Chronicles 28, if you want to turn there and follow along. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Excuse me, and we're going to be going down through most of chapter 28 and into 29 a little bit. And 29 is actually a prayer of David's that I really want to get to. It's the part that really talks about God's strength and His power that David was being thankful for and thanking the Lord for. But I started in 28 just to show you what's going on here in the life of David and the children of Israel. Excuse me. So verse 1, David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes, and the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons. together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the brave warriors. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and you have shed blood.'" So David's David's plan was to build the temple, to build the temple for the covenant to rest in, the Ark of the Covenant, and he was planning on doing that. The Lord told him specifically, "You're not the one that's going to build it." He says, "Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the house of Judah he chose my family. And from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. All of my sons, and the Lord, of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I have established his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, as is being done at this time.'" So he chose Solomon to be king, but Solomon had to walk with the Lord if he was going to stay plugged into the Lord. If he was going to receive the power that he needed to be king, he was going to have to stay plugged in. And that's what has to happen in our lives as well. So he goes on in verse 8 there. He says, "So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." So this was David telling Solomon, "I want you to be strong. I want you to have courage and be the man of God that he's called you to be. Continue to walk in his ways. Don't reject the Lord, but continue to walk in his ways and be strong and do the work that God has called you to do." So he is fulfilling God's plan by giving his blessing to his son. And I'm going to actually leave out then, now we're going to go on. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner parts, and the place of atonement." So God had given David the plans, so he had the plans for it. He had them written down, and so he was showing Solomon the plans that he had and how it was going to be done. It was very specific. When God had a plan for David here, it was very specific, and he knew what it was. It was kind of like Noah with the ark. You've heard us talk about Noah and the ark and how specific that was, how Noah knew exactly what to do. And so Solomon had the same kind of plans that he was looking at, knew how to do it. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple of God and for the treasuries of the dedicated things. He gave him instructions for the divisions of the priests and Levites and for all the work of serving in the temple of the Lord, as well as for all the articles to be used in its service. He designated the weight of gold for all the gold articles to be used in various kinds of service. And I thought that was really interesting, that everything had a weight to it. All the things that were being made by gold or bronze or silver had a weight to it, a certain weight for each utensil that was made. So he wasn't just building a building, but he was putting things in it that had specific measurements to them. And he had this whole plan here. So the weight of gold for the gold lampstands and their lamps, with the weight for each lampstand and its lamps, and the weight of silver for each silver lampstand, according to the use of each lampstand. The weight of gold for each table for consecrated bread, the weight of silver for the silver tables, the weight of pure gold for the forks, the sprinkling bowls, the pitchers, the weight of gold for each gold dish, the weight of silver for each silver dish, and the weight of the refined gold for the altar of incense. He also gave him the plan for the chariot, that is, the cherubim of gold that spread their wings and shelter the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, David said, I have in writing from the hand of the Lord upon me. And he gave me an understanding and all the details of the plan. David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. And the divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God, and every willing man skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. So not only had David set up the plans, but he had also set up the people to help him build it. So there's an army of men ready to put their skills to use and help to build the temple there. And then in chapter 29, I want to go over to verse 10 to look at David's prayer here. And this is kind of David's response to the Lord. So David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And that's probably the verse that I would suggest as our memory verse for the day. All of our wealth and honor come from him. And he's the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. So David was thankful to the Lord. He knew that his strength came from God. He was aware that everything that he did, that everything that he had belonged to the Lord. And so he goes on to say in the rest of the chapter here, I'm just going to go down through 20, but he goes on to say, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all of our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that you have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord God, our fathers, of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. Keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. So they worshiped in this time of thanksgiving. They worshiped the Lord. But David knew where his source was. He knew his power source. He knew where he had to go to get what he needed any time that he needed it. And that's what God wants us to understand today, that we have to spend time with him every day and to keep plugged in, to keep our power source up. That's why it's so important to get into the Word every day. I want to just go over to John 15 for a little bit. John 15 talks about being connected to the vine. It's the one about the vine and the branches. This is one of the stories that we know really well and you've heard before, but I just wanted to remind you to stay connected to the vine. In 15:1 it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I don't know how many of you have fruit trees, or we have raspberries at home, and I have to prune them every year. I have to cut them back so that they'll reproduce and regrow, and so that's what he's talking about here. Where if we get part of our spiritual man that's not working right, he has to prune it. He has to prune it back so it'll grow new and become fruitful again. If we just let our raspberries go, they wouldn't continue to reproduce. Pretty soon they would die out. But by pruning, cutting the dead away, then the new grows back. Why, they produce every year, and it's really, really awesome. Actually, we have the kind that produce twice each summer, so we get a crop in June or July, and then again in August, September, we get another crop of raspberries. So it's really nice. And like I said, if you keep things pruned right, if you have fruit trees, you know you have to prune them. You have to cut them back to make them grow good fruit, to make them get nice big red apples on your fruit trees. And that's what he's talking about here, cutting the bad branches off. It says, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then the rest of that part of the chapter there talks about love and how we have to love one another. But that's for another day. I want to finish up today in Psalm 62. There's just a couple or a few verses there that are very fitting as well, talking about God's strength. So Psalm 62 and verses 5 through 8. Psalm 62:5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. So, God is our power. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's all that we need. I was privileged yesterday to... I had a family called, their parents had passed away, and they called and asked me to do the service for them. We had a celebration of life for Elmer and Mildred Stauffer. They were a couple that some of you in the community may have known. Probably Larry, you probably did. Probably knew Russ and some of the Stauffers. But it was just really neat to share some time with them yesterday. Mildred was 99 when she passed, and Elmer was almost 100. He was 2 months shy of 100 years old. They had 75 years together as husband and wife, and it was neat because their grandchildren actually did a time of memories for their grandparents, and I was so blessed to see that the family, the children of Elmer and Mildred, walked with the Lord, and so do the grandchildren. That was just it was just really neat to see that follow down through the years, you know, as our heritage is so important, you know, how if we bring up our children and grandchildren in the fear of the Lord, why they'll continue to walk with the Lord. And so it was just awesome to share that time with them yesterday. As we close today, as we have a final song, I guess Jamie had to go. She got a text that the calf wasn't doing well. So, you know, I'd also like for you to remember Barb. She had surgery this week for cancer. So just remember to pray for Barb Young. She's recovering from the surgery and doing well, but we just want to remember her today. So as we close, I'm going to have a prayer for them. And then if you need prayer today and you'd like to come and have us pray with you, well, we'll be here to pray with you as we finish up today. So, Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you, Lord, that you are our source, that we can stay connected to you and continue to have power through your name. And so, Father, we just rejoice in the power that you give us today. Lord, we just thank you that we can repower every day or every hour of the day if we need to, Lord, at any time that we need revived or restored, Lord, that you are there to do that for us. So we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for your word and for all that it means to us. Father, today we lift up Barb to you. We ask for her recovery, Lord, that you will bless her and keep her. And also, Lord, we just lift up Jamie's little herd, that you'll protect the new baby and take care of them and bless them. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.